show today, we have NAPQ's very own Carrie Hunt talking about the association's 2018 priorities, so check it out. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, we have Carrie Hunt from NAPQ on the program. How are you?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much for asking. I appreciate that. Hey, we're talking about something that's pretty cool here, your 2018 priorities. You guys have like a whole web page dedicated to it, and you created this whole like a PDF and with your pictures and all sorts of really neat stuff to kind of outline what you guys are looking for and looking to do for 2018. Before we get into them though, but how did you guys come up with this list? There's five of them, five prior. I'm sure there's many, many more, but I mean, how did you come up with the top five priorities for 2018?
We develop our priorities in conjunction with our board, and it really is a reflection on the major issues that we hear from credit unions throughout the year. I think what is notable relative to our priorities is that we've really structured them to be a comprehensive strategic plan to try to achieve positive change for credit unions. I think in the past there have been so many different sub-issues that credit unions have been concerned about, and all those are really, really important issues, but we need something that members of Congress, that regulators clearly understand, and this is why we've structured our priorities in this way.
Gotcha, totally understandable. The first one up for bids here is growth, and we all enjoy the growth. Credit unions have been experiencing some amazing growth the last few years, and kind of the subhead here is NAPQ supports a regulatory environment that allows credit unions to grow. So what does this environment look like? Obviously, we want the regulations to be a lot less to kind of help the overburdened credit unions, especially the smaller ones. So what exactly does that environment look like for you, from your take?
When we think about growth, it really means, what powers and authorities do credit unions have that will allow them to serve their members better? And there are a lot of things that go into that as to how the credit unions can be successful. One, of course, is preserving the credit union tax exemption, and we were successful at doing that this year. There certainly are some tangential tax issues which will have an impact on credit unions, but that core tax exemption was preserved. Yep. And having that exemption as not-for-profit cooperatives allows credit unions to continue to have more money to lend to their members, a la grow, a key component. But there are lots of other things as well which go into growth. And even though we think of the best regulatory environment for credit unions, a lot of that flows from legislation and statutes and other issues going on in the market. One is we absolutely need a strong secondary market for credit unions that allows credit unions to lend more. Okay. So how the GSEs get reformed this year and the next is certainly something that NAPQ is actively working on. Field of membership reforms. We saw a lot on the regulatory side, but we still think there needs to be more on the legislative side. Mm-hmm. NAPQ supports credit unions being able to add underserved areas to their field of membership. We support credit unions being able to serve and create fields of membership to help as many consumers as they possibly can. And we think that is a positive, positive thing. Right now, if I don't know the exact number, I think it was 109 credit union members across the country. Those are constituents of members of Congress, and they really do a great job in telling the story about the value that credit unions provide. And we want credit unions to be able to provide even more value.
Indeed.
And the last thing I'll mention under growth is really capital reform and how that impacts credit unions. Banks are seeking capital reform. Credit unions are still concerned with NCUA's risk-based capital rule and how credit union capital is looked at. And of course, capital is king, and having more money at their fingertips to lend to members and make the institution strong is key. So those are all a number of elements that go into growth. But growth is number one, credit union staying strong.
No doubt. And that kind of segues into our next, and then number two is regulatory relief.
Yes.
And that's always going to be top of mind, because we've been talking about this for a long time now, and it seems, and even the latest administration said they were going to do a lot of things to change all this regulatory burden, all that type of stuff, but nothing's really happened yet. I know it takes time, but what's this look like for regulatory relief for credit unions? I mean, how can we move this boat down the river a lot faster than what's going on right now?
One stroke at a time. get out your oars.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, there isn't a panacea for regulatory relief. It really involves, chipping away at regulation and presenting a different way of doing things to the regulators. Coming out of the financial crisis, the regulators put regulations in place. It's a little bit of the horse is already out of the barn, but regulators had to demonstrate why the country was safe and sound from a banking perspective. Mm-hmm. So the pendulum swung towards adding more and more rules. The problem with more and more rules, it's costly to comply with and may not, and in fact, in most cases, do not provide a more safe environment. There needs to be some risk in the system, no matter what, to allow credit unions to innovate, to allow other financial services providers to innovate. So we really need a regulatory environment that reflects the reality of doing business and the reality of the modern day times that we're living in, and not a system which is so restrictive and so time consuming to comply with that no one gets access to credit.
Yeah, you can't move. It's almost claustrophobic in a way.
there are certainly a number of things that we have strongly advocated for, mainly a lot of CFPB reforms. We think there needs to be clarity relative to their unfair and deceptive acts and practices authority. We think the CFPB has potentially abused that. There needs to be more exemptions for credit unions from rules that are designed to impact bad actors in big banks. Mm-hmm. And we also need appropriate cost benefit for any regulation. And we have so many regulations that, yes, create this 100% safe and secure environment, but don't allow for that innovation. And regulators need to take that into consideration.
Yeah, unfortunately, we got lumped in with those bad apples, you know, and we all kind of got sucked into that vortex with them. And so now we're all kind of paying the price, unfortunately. So let's go to number three here, playing field. We all want a fair playing field. What does this look like?
You know, this is somewhat of a complicated issue. We have, coming out of the financial crisis, and when you look at regulatory reform, you know, there are a lot of different players in financial services.
Mm-hmm.
Credit unions are structured very differently from banks. You have fintechs who are emerging, who are corporations that aren't necessarily regulated in the same as depositories. You have merchants who play in the market but don't necessarily have the same requirements relative to, say, data security.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot of different players, different types of players in the financial service really ecosystem, and all of those have to be able to compete and provide financial services. So we're not suggesting that every entity needs to be the same. In fact, we do not think every entity needs to be the same. Credit unions have excelled by being different, but at the same time, the credit unions need to have those powers and authorities that allow them to be competitive.
Yep.
And some of those entities which aren't regulated do need some rules of the road so that they have to comply with some of the same rules.
I concur. That next one is transparency. I find this one super interesting here because NAFQ supports government transparency and accountability. Yep. Regulators need to be transparent and accountable in their actions with opportunity for public input and should respect different viewpoints. Love this. So can you provide some examples here, what you guys are talking about?
One of our biggest issues, which falls into this bucket, is reforming the CFPB. We support a commission structure for the CFPB. We think that any government agency with a sole director, there's an issue and concern with that public policy isn't being appropriately vetted in a not very transparent manner.
Mm-hmm.
When you have boards with regular board meetings, when you have things that are published in the Federal Register under a clear Administrative Procedure Act process, then there is a level of transparency on that.
Mm-hmm.
While we may not agree with the regulators, we ultimately are given, we think, a fair opportunity to comment on that.
Right.
A number of our other issues relative to transparency continue to be with the National Credit Union Administration. NAFQ has long supported budget transparency. The NCUA has done a lot in that regard. But we still think there are issues that need to be addressed. We had a lot of concerns with the merger of the Share Insurance Fund and the Temporary Corporate Stabilization Fund, in particular relative to the high increase in the normal operating level. NCUA had their own assessment as to kind of a worst case scenario relative to the Share Insurance Fund. We had a different perspective, and a greater transparency, we think would have been helpful there. So it's always a bit of a work in progress relative to all of our regulators as to, you know, the role of stakeholders. We certainly think there's been lots of change in that regard, in particular under, you know, Chairman Mark McWaters, former chairman, Mr. Mesker did a lot in that regard as well. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot more work to be done.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And that, again, that nice segue, Carrie, going into number five, our fifth and final one, a strong NCUA. And
yes.
Lately, I mean, the NCUA seems to be kind of in a weird position right now because, obviously, board member Metzger, he's kind of post duties, but he's still there doing a great job. And then Chairman McWaters, there's rumors that he'll be heading up the CFPB, and there's still an open seat there, and it just seems to be kind of in an odd place right now. But it's working. It's working, as strange as it is. So what does a strong NCUA look like to you guys? What do you guys want to see?
Primarily, we need to maintain a sole regulator for credit unions, and that is what it really comes down to. There was some suggestion that NCUA should be pulled under the congressional appropriations process, mm-hmm. and we opposed that. We do think that even though we may disagree with the regulator, we need a regulator that is dedicated to credit unions to ensure that as a standalone industry, you know, credit unions are surviving and thriving. Mm-hmm. So having that independent regulator is key. I will say I do think that the NCUA functions when it has as a full board. I think that it is functioning now, of course, but that is not how ideally the agency is meant to be run, and having three board members to have you know, different viewpoints and robust policy discussions ultimately I think it suits is the best thing to serve credit unions. But we certainly will be patient, and hopefully we will see some movement in that regard. I will note NCUA is not the only agency that still has a number of vacancies. There are lots and lots of vacancies still in the Trump administration. Mm-hmm. So a lot remains to be seen in that regard this year.
Indeed, indeed. And looking at these five, Carrie, and listening to you talking, I think they all kind of complement each other. There's kind of a thread that runs through each of them, and I really think they all complement each other. And I look forward to seeing how these kind of progress throughout the year and the prioritization. And there's also what you guys talk about a lot as well as cybersecurity as well. So, I mean, I think that could be like a 5B or something like that, or a 6 or something. So you guys are constantly talking about cybersecurity too. So I just wanted to throw that in there as well, because that's still an important topic as well. So
It definitely is. We view that as part of a fair playing field and keeping information safe and secure. You know, I'm looking forward to working on these issues in conjunction with our membership this year as well. You know, we are a number one advocacy organization for credit unions. It's what we do every day. We love to do it, and we love to fight for our members. We are pushing forward with our agenda and all these priorities.
Right on. Great message to end on. You guys keep up the good work, Carrie. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day again. We always appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.